Hey everyone, I'm Ben Parker here to tell you that the Stat Sheet Podcast is presented by Box Score Network. Box Score Network is your one-stop shop for all things NFL podcasts. You want game analysis, betting lines, hot takes, or fantasy advice? Well, check out Box Score Network and follow Box Score Network on Twitter at BScore Network for updates. Welcome back, everybody, to the Stat Sheet Podcast. I'm Ben Parker, joined as always by Ronan Summers, Simon Short. The entire gang is here today. The NFL offseason, while it hasn't technically league year fiscally started, it is in full motion, full gear. We're going to cover several teams tonight, an entire cluster of them, the middle third of the league from this past season. We're going to go over a lot of their cap space, draft picks, free agent possibilities that they may or may not re-sign. We've got cap-saving things that they might do. Some teams are already in full mode. We are going to cover all tonight. We are excited. We are loaded. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us. One quick note before we actually dive into the individual teams themselves. Most of you have already heard by now. Some of you may have not. The NFL actually officially released their new cap number, and it turned out to be about $13.5 million higher per team than everybody, experts included, thought it was going to be. We were hearing that it was going to end up being around somewhere 242, 240, 242.5 was kind of the numbers we've been hearing. And I expected, that's really where I expected it to be. It ended up being around 255. So everybody gets more money to spend this offseason. It should make for an even more exciting offseason than we already figured would happen. So just a note on that, for those of you who may have heard last week's podcast, the numbers will be different pretty much across the board for everybody we discussed. Basically just add another 13 and a half bills to whatever we talked about last week, and that will kind of be the number adjustment if you're wondering why our numbers are off. So let's get to it. Ronan is up. He's got the Denver Broncos. Tell us all about it, man.
Yes, sir. We're starting off with a fun one this episode. The Denver Broncos, man. This is a team that's coming off of an 8-9 season, but it doesn't really feel like an 8-9 season. An 8-9 season is some, obviously you didn't go above 500. You can't go 500 anymore, but you didn't go above 500. So it was a losing season. But the locker room seemed to be torn apart. So there's some soul searching to do in Denver. And that starts with the quarterback situation. Now, before we start off with this, the Denver Broncos currently have, they're currently $16 million over the cap, right? So they still have to make a few moves to get under that. And they also have to get rid of Russell Wilson, former Seattle quarterback who they brought in last season. It did not work out. If this is your first time paying attention to the NFL, didn't go so well for Russell Wilson in Denver. He's on contract through 2028. He's set for, I believe, an $85 million cap hit for next season as of right now. So that's going to have to get figured out. And then a $49 million, $31 million, $12 million, and $5 million. So you can stretch that out. But an $85 million cap hit is not a fun one to sit there and look at. Cutting Wilson post-June 1st would be about $35 million in dead cap space. So not necessarily something that the Broncos want to do, but if push comes to shove, it might be what they have to end up doing. A post-June 1st trade would be about an $18 million dead cap hit, and it would free up about $17 million. So I don't know if there's a single team that sees Russell Wilson, sees the last couple of years, and sees that contract and wants to pay that price. Denver clearly doesn't, but that is an avenue that could potentially happen if a team becomes desperate enough. Looking at the pending free agents, there's a couple notable ones. Center Lloyd Cushenberry, who played 99% of the snaps last season, he's going to be a big one. To be determined whether or not he gets brought back or not, but if he doesn't, probably going to be a prime center candidate. It seems like a lot of teams are needing center. A lot are hitting free agency mm-hmm. this offseason, and a lot of teams are going to be needing one. So it's a good time to be a center with the this recent pay increase for every team, or the cap increase for every team, might see the center market start going up, and you love to see that if you're a fan of the trenches. Tight end Adam Trautman, he played about 70% of the time. He's pending free agent. Middle linebacker Josie Jewell, who also played 70% of the time, he's a pending free agent. Cornerback Fabian Moreau, he played about 65% of the time. He's a pending free agent. And then the last notable one I have here, guys, is kicker Will Lutz, who the Broncos traded for about mid-season last year. So couple pretty notable guys, couple key contributors to the Broncos last season, past couple seasons. We'll go ahead and talk about the potential cut candidates, and then I'll kick it to you guys because this is one that might stir up some conversation. Cutting a guy like Garrett Bowles or Courtland Sutton or Simmons, right, the safety, each would free up about $10 million per. So there are a couple ways to free up some cap space here. Also, cutting Tim Patrick would free up about $9.5 million, but it would be about a $6 million dead cap hit. As would be cutting DJ Jones, I think frees up about $7 million, but there might be some dead cap there as well. I want to kick it to you guys. Simon, starting with you first. Bowles, Sutton, Simmons, are either of these three, any of these three, a potential cut candidate in your eyes? And is that something that you could see the Broncos doing this offseason?
Boy, that's so tough. We're talking about like literally their three best players on the whole team. Simmons and Sutton, absolutely not. Bowles, I mean, he's expressed a lot of frustration over the last 2 seasons, right? Pretty much ever since Russell Wilson has been brought in. So I don't know if he's a guy now at the age of what, 32, who's been here his whole career, and it's just like, maybe he's just done with the whole thing. That I could maybe see that happening. If I had to pick one of those three, I would say Bowles. But I think more than likely, we see this team, we see Sean Payton take a little bit of the Mickey Loomis model and restructure a bunch of these guys and get themselves more cap compliant. But if I had to pick one of those three, it would be Bowles, and then you're going into the draft with what, the 11, 12, 13 pick somewhere in there, and you're getting a guy to play left tackle. I think that's a, it's a it's not a great offensive line. There's certainly some issues. You mentioned Cushenberry being a free agent. You might have to be starting that over, but you got Ben Powers last year. You got Mike McGlinchey last year. Maybe this is the process of Peyton rebuilding a line in his image. So Bowles, I'd say, is the most likely Ronan.
I think you hit it right on the head. There are going to be a couple holes for this team this offseason. And, draft capital wise, they've got the 12th overall pick, then they have a third round pick, a fourth round pick, 2 fifths, and a seventh. So six total. And for a team with not a whole lot of money to spend as of right now, right? $16 million, and closer to 17, that can change tomorrow, right? We can see three restructures. And that can get leveled out. And then you see three more, and all of a sudden they have some spending money. So it's not completely out of the woods for the Broncos to make a splash signing here or there, but probably nothing super major. Now, in terms of team needs, right? Obviously, quarterback is going to be a major one. Sean Payton has expressed multiple times that he's in search of a quarterback. During Super Bowl week, whenever he heard that Baker was running around in the same whatever pavilion they were in, he had to make sure that he had to go find them. So quarterback, it seems to be, number one priority this offseason, as it probably should be, right? You got to find your franchise guy. Now at 12, that might be a little bit difficult. So that might be trading up. That might be getting a Kirk Cousins. Now getting Kirk Cousins money. He's coming off of an injury, so maybe you can sign him to a 1 year deal. But that's a whole other can of worms. Other team needs, you've got edge rusher. I think solidifying that, they brought in Allen last offseason, and not a whole lot to be said about that pass rush last season. So maybe adding another guy will free everybody else up. So I've got edge rusher down for them, and then quarterback too. cornerback too. They've got Moreau, who's hitting free agency. I believe they've got another cornerback on their depth chart who's also going to be a pending free agent. So solidifying cornerback too would be very big. And then I've also got down potentially a wide receiver. Maybe not in the early rounds, but you've got Judy coming up on a contract. I don't know if they're going to re-sign him. And then Sutton, he's getting expensive, maybe getting some youth and kind of starting fresh offensively might be an avenue that they could consider, but I don't think it's a major one. But at the same time, if they could trade Sutton for a day two pick and some change potentially, free up some cap space, that might be the play. So Ben, I'll kick it to you. In terms of, the Broncos roster overall, outside of quarterback, right? Because that's a whole, black hole in itself. What glares to you as the biggest problem for the Broncos?
Yeah, I don't even know that I have an answer to that, having not deep dived on it. So that's a great question, but I don't have a great answer on it, to be honest. But I will say it's messy over there in Denver. It's messy. It's going to stay that way. So that it's going to be messy until they let go of Wilson and until all the Wilson numbers have filtered out here over the next 2 seasons. So even if they do a P6-1 cut and soften the blow for this year, it's going to be hanging around big time next year. So it's going to be messy for a while. I will say you hit on the Kirk Cousins thing, which I get it financially. Is a long stretch. If he even gets free from Minnesota to try to add on the Cousins money onto the Wilson money. But all of that aside, I love the idea of Sean Payton hooking up with Kirk Cousins there in Denver. I think it would immediately on the field solve a lot of problems that they've got over there if he's healthy and ready to go, which I kind of figure he will be at least by midseason, back to some kind of a Kirk Cousins form. I know this, Sean Payton's not going to want to pull in a rookie quarterback. He may do it. He may not have any better choice. He's really not going to want to do that because you're kind of hitting reset on everything, and he's not really in a reset kind of a mood. He's in a ready to win now kind of a mood. So the Kirk Cousins thing to me, as much of a stretch as it is financially, I would really enjoy that.
I love it. I love it. I don't believe I have anything super pressing on the Broncos. So my final question, I'll just open it up to both of you. Simon, I'll start with you. Do we see them, progressing this next season? Do we see them regressing? Do we see them going the same?
Oh man, I will say staying the same. I think this is going to be a gap year, which last year could probably now retroactively be defined as, but I think now you move on from Wilson. I think it's kind of a gap year. You get the financials in order, and you just watched your division rival win yet another Super Bowl. I think you hang back, bulk up, get ready for 2025. So stay the same, roughly.
Ben, same question to you.
Yeah, if I'll make a contingent. If they can pull in a cousin somehow, then I actually see them getting just a hair better. If they got to go rookie quarterback, that they're going to get, I think, significantly worse. That's kind of where I'll leave it, though. So I'm not sure they're going to be able to get the guy Peyton wants. He may be forced to just grab a quarterback out of the draft and hang on for dear life. We'll see. I know Baker's floating around out there, but I'm not sure that's going to make the team a whole lot better, to be honest. I mean, that'll keep them afloat, but I don't necessarily know that in that stacked AFC that that's going to. I'm not against Baker. 2 years ago, I was actually more in favor of him than a lot of people were. But man, when you're rolling in with Baker and everybody else is rolling in with these fine-tuned vehicles like Lamar and Mahomes and Allen and Burrow, I mean, you're in seventh, eighth place before you even start the season, right?
Real quick, I want to take us off the rails here because Ronan, I love this question and I love it for these two teams, this team we're talking about and this team Ben is about to give us all the details on in the Raiders. Your two teams that have a couple pieces in place, but so far a pretty barren roster. And maybe when you just look at the roster, punched a little above your weight in 2023. Meanwhile, you saw Patrick Mahomes with his worst offensive roster. All right, let's not throw shade at the defense. Win a Super Bowl. You're not bad enough to get one of these quarterbacks at the top. And if you trade everything to even just go up to three and get quarterback three, you are, and you know, you're tying one hand behind your back in terms of how you can continue to improve the roster, because you're probably trading your second round pick. Maybe you're trading another player in this deal. You're trading long-term assets. Probably you're probably trading another first to get up to three from this spot here with Denver at 12 and the Raiders at 13. If you were the GM of these teams, and I know we're going to get Ben since here, and Ronan, I'll kick this to you first because you kind of posed this question. Do you take a gap year because of the other quarterbacks in your division, or do you just operate in your own space and say, we're just going to move forward with our own 5-year plan as if we were in any, as if we were the NFC South and we could win it? Or do you take a year to kind of build everything out first and do something else later? Or do you say, man, I have an opportunity to go get a quarterback, I'm going to go get him, or go pay a Kirk Cousins and try to win 10 games? How do you approach that with specifically with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in your division?
I think with, not just Mahomes, but you've got Herbert as well. Yeah, I don't know. That is so tough because you don't want to just completely chalk it, right? You don't want to just pretty much show to your fan base, hey, don't show up this year. We're not going to be good, because that's how you lose a attendance. And then whenever you are good, hopefully they do show up. You're already, I think taking the gap year would obviously be beneficial, right? You get the better draft pick, but I think you have to fully buy in. I think you have to gut pretty much the entire roster. You have to pretty much bank on, I don't, 45 or 45, 50% of your draft picks. Right, you gotta hit on all of them. So you gotta completely commit to it, right? There is no soft commit. All right, we're gonna lose a couple games, right? And then
Interesting.
we're gonna be okay. So yes, I think a gap year would be good, but I don't know if a just 1 year would necessarily be enough to get the Broncos where they need to be in contention with the Mahomes and the Herberts in 2 to 3 years. So, I mean, if they're willing to do that, right, take that 2 to 3 year kind of mentality to it, maybe. But at the same time, they have Sean Payton, and he didn't sign on to that. And there's no way he's going to buy into, hey, we're going to suck for 3 years, but don't worry, we'll probably be okay as long as everything goes right. So I think they've kind of dug themselves in a hole. I think if they had gone with, let's say, a younger coach, right? I think that would have been a more prime option. But you've got Sean Payton, right? You paid him all this money. Yeah, you have to buy into kind of what you've already started doing with the Sean Payton way. So what they should do, right, is probably hit the reset button and try to gut everything. But everything's not lost. There is a way for this team to get into the playoffs and to shock people. With what they have right now and with Sean Payton and with powering through.
Ben, what approach would you take? How do you feel about Ronan's approach of like full stop, gut it for a couple of years and fully tank, and then go ahead and use that and lead into talking about the Raiders?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I'm in Denver, I'll take the gap year. I'll just go ahead and eat all of Russell Wilson this year. I think Sean Payton will be around long enough to justify that. I don't think he's necessarily looking to get out in 2 seasons, so I figure he'll tolerate it, even though. But the Russell Wilson thing hasn't worked, so why ask for another year of that? Excuse me, for whoever's fault, without even blaming anybody, it just hasn't worked. So move on, eat the big cap year, do what minimal restructuring you have to do, and eat the gap there. With the Raiders, the team we're about to talk about, I would not take a gap year. I would be full speed ahead. Antonio Pierce, he's aggressive. He's ready to eat people now. He's ready to beat the Chiefs twice a year right now, So let's just go ahead and move on with that. Let's get aggressive and let's move on. So that's where I would be
He
on those two
provided the
teams.
formula, as he has said recently, which got some
Exactly.
people going. Love that.
Got the Mahomes formula.
That's right. The Mahomes rules, right? The old school Jordan rules. I love it, man. I'm all in. I'm all in.
I
Tell
love it. Yeah.
us about the Raiders, Ben. What they got going on, and tell me why they're going to win the Super Bowl next year.
All right, so here's the Raiders. Number one, let's start off with their cap space. They were at $42.5 million. Of course, that got increased with the NFL bonanza. They are now at $55.5 million, give or take a couple of million, on their cap space, which is a good spot for them to be. When it comes to the draft picks, they've got number 13 overall. They've got number 44. They've got number 77. After that, they've got six more draft picks to play with. So they're sitting in pretty good spaces when it comes to draft picks. Now, you mentioned they're kind of in that middling range at number 13, where they're going to have to cost them a lot to go up and get a quarterback they really want. So they'll have to figure that out in the perfect spot, but still plenty of draft picks to play with there. When it comes to their top free agents, guys that they may need to look at re-signing, it's not a heavy group, so they don't necessarily have to be too aggressive here. Josh Jacobs will not be cheap. I expect him to come back, but we'll see. Right tackle Jermaine Illuminor, who had a decent season. This is a guy that I wasn't a huge fan of, but has continued to get better. So I figure, as difficult as offensive linemen are to come by, that they'll probably invest the money in bringing him back because he did play well last year. Right guard Greg Van Roten, we'll see. Be nice to have a guy that you know can at least produce something, but we'll see if he comes back. And then there's nose tackle John Jenkins, cornerback Amik Robertson. Those are a couple of guys that may or may not be back. So not a heavy list of free agents necessarily. If they want to go out and get aggressive in free agent market, they are definitely a team that can do that. And I kind of expect them to do that, to be honest. Cap savings, which they don't necessarily need. They've got plenty to spend with, but expect Jimmy Garoppolo. It looks like something's going to happen there. I figure you could save about 10 mil right there. Even if you don't do a P6-1 version, you can just do an easy 10 mil cut right there. And I expect that to happen. If you really want to get aggressive and create cap space, I do not expect this. You could, with either Hunter Renfrow or Jacoby Myers, save anywhere from $6.5 to $8 million if you're just looking for more money to throw somebody else's way. But it's a pretty good receiving group, so I don't really know why you would meddle with it. I think they'll leave that alone. Their team needs, you mentioned that they are not one of the best rosters in football. They're on the lower end. That's not horrible, but it's lower end. So it's going to be quarterback. Aiden O'Connell will be back. They should give him a chance to fight for and try to earn that starting job. But he's really not looking like the long-term answer. I just don't think he's got a strong enough arm. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. I think the offensive line could continue to use some help. It has needed help for years. It's not a disaster, but they could use more help there. And then the third team need, I just put down as defense, because they really could use help all over this defense, which, by the way, was way better last year than I thought it was going to be. I really credit that to the coaching staff. I don't think there's a lot of talent sitting here on this side of the football. I think that the staff just did a tremendous job. Simon, you mentioned earlier about team punching above their weight class. This team was doing that. Crosby was a huge part of that. The coaching staff, I really thought, was aggressive. I absolutely loved it. So still, I think they need some talent infusions anywhere on the defense that you can get it, free agency or draft. So that's kind of what we're looking at right there. Simon, I will start with you. If you are a Raiders fan, you got to be a little excited, but how excited?
It depends what your end goal for 2024 is, or I guess your start goal for 2024 is, right? If me personally, if I was a Raiders fan, and even just to be a person who's going to be talking about the Raiders year round, I'm so excited, man, because the vibes just have to be great. I mean, the way I imagine every fan felt when they got that notification that Josh McDaniels was going to be their head coach 2 years. Find me a Raiders fan that felt good about that the moment that that notification came in. I'm sure 50% talked themselves into it, right? Because that's what you do as a fan. I.e., see my Twitter account when Arthur Smith got hired as offense coordinator for the Steelers. But there's no way anybody felt good about it. And from the moment that everything kicked off with McDaniel, like there's no way you felt good. So I think you have to be excited this year to just be a team that is going to be like lively and exciting and that you want to watch and want to root for again, right? And a coach that is going to have the players back and the players that are going to have his back. I think that is what you have to be excited for. If you're sitting here thinking that they do actually have the Mahomes formula and that they're going to win 10 games and they're going to do something in the play, barking up the wrong tree, buddy. Now, that all does change if they trade 2 future firsts and 13 and their second round pick and go get Jaden Daniels or Drake May, whoever it is, right? Then I do think you get a little excited because you think, okay, a good quarterback, some cap space to improve the offensive line, a defense that is mostly still in place, right? None of the major players. They brought the safety Marcus Epps over last year and Robert Spillane, but Primetime Bob, right? Those guys made impacts on defense. They're still there. Obviously, Max Crosby is a great player. They still have the main key pieces of that defense, plus defensive coordinator Patrick Graham, retained by Antonio Pierce. So I think if all that kind of falls into place, yeah, you get pretty excited. You should be feeling good if you're a Raiders fan right now, I think, Ben.
Ronan, I think it was you who mentioned quarterback earlier for the Raiders. Real quick, what would you like to see them do? Because they've actually got a lot of options, but I don't know that any options are great. So what would you really like to see them do here?
I would like to see them get a young guy. I would like to see them get like a Daniels or something to that effect. But I, for whatever reason, something in me is, and maybe it's there are a lot of teams towards the top of the draft that are in search of a quarterback. But something tells me that they might turn to a veteran. And I don't know who exactly. We just talked about Cousins. There's probably, six or seven teams you can kind of plug Cousins into and be like, yeah, that could work. But I think I would like to see them go with a young quarterback just to, see something kind of get started there in Vegas. You bring in a veteran, right? It's not going to probably stay like that for the next 5 or 6 years. So getting a guy that you can kind of build around, I think, is kind of most important for this Vegas team that is in search of cornerstones.
Fair enough. Excitement abounds. Hope abounds. They got a lot of work ahead of them, though, so we'll see what they pull off. Let's move on to the next team, the Indianapolis Colts, and Simon's got that one.
Boy, oh boy, is everything feeling good for the Indianapolis Colts right now, guys? I mean, talk about punching above your weight. And but this feels sustainable, right? This was a team that 2 weeks into the season, we're like, okay, they got a guy in Shane Steichen. And it was only the four games of Anthony Richardson and the two different injuries, but there was stuff that he put on tape in those four games that immediately answered some of the biggest questions we had, right? Going into the draft, right? What things could translate. Can he run an offense? Can he manage the pocket? All this stuff. And he can. He's got to rein it in and not take hits from big dudes and not hurt himself over and over again. And there's something to work with there. So I think the Colts are this first team that we're talking about tonight where it's like you're going in and there's a pretty clear direction. So let's get into it here. Pending free agents for the Colts. You got the big one is wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. You got corner, nickel corner Kenny Moore. You got safety Julian Blackman, your backup quarterback Gardner Minshew. Your punter, Rigoberto Sanchez, defensive lineman Grover Stewart, who we'll talk about, and running back Zach Moss. I'll lump these things together here. The cap situation for them, it's now up to $72 million for the Indianapolis Colts. Healthy amount of room there. Big savings, any big money savings they could do, not really anything that would help them at this point, and they have all that cap space already. The one I'm looking at that might not even happen until like the end of train, like this might be an end of training camp sort of deal. Mo Alie Cox, tight end, $5-ish million savings if you cut him. Again, what does that do for you? This team kept like five tight ends last year after initial cutdowns. Mo Alie Cox is the blocking guy. He played about a third of the snaps along with the other tight end, so whatever, it doesn't really matter. They have all that available. That said, Ben, I'm gonna kick it to you first. We'll talk about this with the Bengals later, but we saw T. Higgins get the franchise tag. You have all this cap space. Michael Pittman Jr., should he be priority number one for the Colts, both internal and external? And would you go straight for the franchise tag, or do you think they could just, I mean, this was a top 40 pick for them, been their best receiver on the team basically since he was drafted. Do you just work out the big time extension right now?
Since I've already got coach and quarterback, I think I can just go ahead and work out the extension since I've got all the cap space. One downside to everybody having money flush all of a sudden is that all the free agent prices just went up. Because when everybody's got money, I don't even, it's economics 101. I don't know if you call it inflation or deflation, but your dollar is now going to buy less than it was 2 weeks ago. So all your free agent prices went up, which probably means you can re-sign a guy or extend a guy for better value, if you want to call it that, than a guy you might pick up on free agency, which is always true. I think it's even more true now that everybody's got a whole bunch of money. So I would go ahead and work on Pittman here. I would try to keep him in the fold. I'm not the biggest Pittman guy necessarily because I don't think he's like your number one banger like some of these other teams got. But you got the space, you got a quarterback. You don't want to take a weapon away from him. You want to add to it. So I would keep him there, and I would try to get him signed for the next 3 or 4 seasons.
And your point about everybody having cap space now, maybe it makes it even more imperative to just slap the tag on him now and then still try to work out the extension. Don't even let him hit the market and talk to teams and
Right. Yeah.
even if you would match any of the money, don't even give him the opportunity to say, well, maybe I would just prefer to go here, right?
Right.
Maybe you do, maybe this the cap going up does just get every team to just say, like, let's just slap the tag on, even if we are going to try to work out an extension right after, which is totally reasonable to do within the cap. I think he's the perfect fit for this team. Good contested catch guy, works over the middle, big frame, 6'4", long arms. When you've got a young quarterback who accuracy is not Anthony Richardson's strong suit, it's good to have those big contested catch guys on the team. The free agent that I wanted to also note here, Grover Stewart, the defensive lineman. I reached out to a couple Colts people in regards to this. Shout out to Kevin Beck and Meg. He's been an important part for this player for this team for a long time. He's been on this team for years and years. Last year, he was suspended for a handful of games for a gambling issue. We saw Shane Steichen be no nonsense with his players last year, right? I mean, he sent guys home in the home stretch of the regular season when they were trying to make the playoffs because we never even found out what exactly was the issue. It was Isaiah McKenzie and one other guy. We don't know if those two got in a fight. We don't know if they were complaining about playing time, anything like that. So, A, the fact that they were sent home during the season, and B, the fact that we still don't even know what it is. Like, they're running a tight ship over there. So they let Grover Stewart come back and play out the rest of the season, and he certainly helped. They had their best run defensive games when he was in there. He's kind of the plugger. He's kind of the thunder to DeForest Buckner's lightning. And they had all of their worst run defense games with him gone. Now, that said, they had some stinkers with him there too. And overall, on the year, they were one of the worst run defensive teams in the league. So you might see him go, but again, a guy that's been there a long time, has been healthy. He's just at 30. He's in his early 30s, I think. But definitely a guy that a type of player they need. Whether they bring him back or go elsewhere, I think that'll be really interesting to watch, for this team moving forward. Let's move to the draft here. This is very straightforward. They have each of their own picks in each round. They pick at 15, and it's right in the middle too. 15, 46, 82. They always do a good job of having picks, and they had a ton of good picks. They had a great draft last year. They always have at least 7 picks, and for the last couple of years, they've had more than that. I don't expect them to really move around. But if you find the guy, we always say if you find the guy you like, you go get him. But I could see them just sitting and picking for all of these here because they do a good job of drafting. Team needs, even with Michael Pittman Jr. probably coming back, another receiver, and then defensive backs. I'm sure, I'd consider adding another guy maybe through free agency at the receiver position because Alec Pierce hasn't yet taken off the way I thought he was going to when they drafted him 2 years ago. But we saw them have success drafting Josh Downs last year as a slot receiver. But I think a guy that can push Pierce and really be helpful for Anthony Richardson's development, whether they get that guy in free agency or the draft, I think will be pretty big. And then the DBs. I mentioned Kenny Moore as a free agent. He's been basically their best defensive back for the last handful of years, and he's their nickel. Like, he's not on the outside. He's not shadowing the big time movers at receiver or anything like that. This team needs some talent in the defensive backfield. They got Juju Brents last year in the draft, right? He looked pretty good for a first-year player at corner. I think they continue to attack that position, whether they do it through free agency or the draft. Again, plenty of money in free agency. Jalen Jones, Legarius Sneed. We'll see if those guys get tagged, and Jones is pretty much certain, I think, to get a tag at this point. So we'll see what happens, but we'll see what they do there. And then I mentioned the run defense was bad all last year. They could bring Grover Suhr back. I still think they probably want to get somebody behind him too, somebody younger. So I expect them to get a plugger at some point in the draft. And then they do have good edge rushers. They had three guys last year get eight or more sacks from the edge position. So not even including DeForest Buckner. So pretty good production. But nobody that you think is going to blow up and be the like 12 plus sack a season kind of guy. So at 15, that's an interesting spot in the draft because, I think there's going to be a heavy run on the offensive players early. This team has done a pretty good job on their offensive line already. They probably go corner there, but like the edge rushers could all still be there at 15. So it might be their time to think, let's take a big swing at an edge rusher here. So that's not so much a need as a just a note that they don't have that one guy. And you've already got DeForest Buckner in the middle. All three of us are on the get your defensive tackle first, right? Plug up the inside of that defensive line first and then get your edge rusher. They've got Buckner right there, man. And that dude is still a stud. So I think if they wanted to swing on a guy that can maybe get 12 plus sacks a year, that would not be a bad move. Ronan, when you look at the Colts, you're our Midwest correspondent out there. When you look at that and you think of a second or potentially third receiver, when you look at the DBs, look at the run defense that they had last year, bad, and again, both raw stats and advanced metrics, and then that not having that premier edge rusher, where would you maybe spend the most of this money that they have, right? And then, and not including Michael Pittman Jr., where would you go spend the money next among these positions? And then where would you maybe spend that 15th overall pick?
I think you hit it right on the head. I would at 15, I think going corner would be a very good route to go, as would be edge rusher. I think you just convinced me on an edge rusher as well because they don't have that guy. But I think corner is first and foremost. If there's a guy there that can play the boundary, especially if you can bring Kenny Moore in, that would be great. Have a have him just kind of teach the ropes. Take him under the wing, or take your first rounder under his wing. I would go boundary corner just because that's such an important position, man. If you don't have that number one corner that you can throw on, whoever you need to at any given time, you're gonna have a tough time.
Yeah, and if you get that corner, then maybe those eight sack a season guys, they get a little bit more time. Maybe one of them does pop into a 10 sack a season guy for sure.
100%.
I love this Colts team, man. I just pray Anthony Richardson stays healthy. And that'll just be a thing for him to work on his own. So that's really the most important piece. We went through a bunch of stuff there for the Colts, but if he can be healthy and we really see what he and this team can be all together, that's what I'm most excited about. Let's take it to our next team, and it's back to Ronan, and it's his pet team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ronan, what's going on in Jacksonville?
Yes, sir. So they are currently $24 million under the cap. Pending free agents, the wide receiver Calvin Ridley, who played 85% of the time, he had about 1,000 yards last season, eight touchdowns. So he would be a guy that would be great to have back. He's 29, which kind of surprised me because for whatever reason I thought he was still 26 and super young. And but he's not. So maybe they bring him back. They should be able to work something out financially. 24 million. They have some cut moves that they could make that I'll bring up in a little bit. But Ridley is going to be a very interesting wide receiver to keep an eye on this offseason because if they don't bring him back, he might be kind of the cream of the crop as far as wide receiver free agents go. So something to pay attention to. Another guy to pay attention to this offseason, outside linebacker Josh Allen. The dude wreaks havoc. He played 79% of last season, and he's also a pending free agent. Not sure how this is going to go. You would have assumed that they would have gotten something worked out by now. Similarly to kind of like the Brian Burns situation, right? But here we are still. Josh Allen not under contract next year for Jacksonville. So that might be a guy that might be on the move this offseason, and he will be most likely getting top dollar for wherever he goes. Left guard Ezra Cleveland, who played 65%, is a pending free agent. Center Tyler Shatley, who played 44%. And then cornerback Trey Herndon, who played 43%, make up the notable free agents. As far as cutting moves go, or cap moves go, cutting Folo Fatukasi would free up about 7.9 million, but it would add about 4.8 to the dead cap. Cutting Zay Jones would free up about 7.7 million, add about 3 million to the dead cap, so about 4.5, and maybe a little bit more there. And then cutting Darius Williams, the corner, former Ram, would free up $11 million. So he is a guy who might be on the block, the chopping block, because $11 million can go a long way as far as the offseason goes. As far as draft capital, they have the 17th overall pick. They have their first round pick. They have the 48th pick in the second round, the 96th pick in the third round. Then they have a fourth, a fifth, two sixths, and a seventh to make up eight picks. As far as team needs go, this is a kind of where it gets dicey. Interior offensive line, I mentioned they have Cleveland and Shatley both hitting potentially free agency. So shoring up that offensive line is crucial. Lawrence has been getting hurt way too much since he's gotten into the league. So seeing him upright is first and foremost. Cornerback is still a position that they could upgrade. And then defensive line, especially if Josh Allen leaves. If Allen leaves, this defensive line isn't necessarily nearly as scary as they have been. And they haven't been the best pass rush, but they've been serviceable. More name value than anything else, really, more than production, that's for sure. But with Josh Allen potentially heading out, really you're left with Walker and a couple other pretty capable defensive linemen, but you definitely want to upgrade that. So, Simon, I'll kick it to you first. Of the pending free agents, is there a guy that you think the Jaguars need to bring back? Is there a guy that you think is gone for sure?
They got to bring Josh Allen back. I mean, they just have to. The dude is a menace. He continues to get better every single year. You mentioned it. They kind of regressed back to the mean this year in terms of sack production. I think they got to like average this year, after last year being like a bottom two or three team in sacks. And what I don't think you can do is right now, when former first overall pick Trayvon Walker is starting to make some progress, you can't take the other guy on the other side away, because now you're just going to get double teams on Walker, all the attention on Walker, and you'll have zero pass rush at that point. So you've whatever you got to do. Again, like we said with the receivers a few minutes ago, if you can't work out a thing with Allen before the tampering period starts, you just slap the tag on him and you work out whatever deal he wants. I think they need that guy, Ronan.
I completely agree. Ben, Calvin Ridley was a contributor for this offense last season. Trevor Lawrence has seemed to have had, somewhat of a connection with him, right? And you would assume if they were to have a second year together, that would only continue. Is Calvin Ridley a guy that you see the Jaguars, kind of pounding the table to bring back? Or do you think that they kind of look around and think, all right, well, he's 29. Probably maybe asking for a little bit too much than we're comfortable spending given our cap status. Maybe we can bring in a guy, a rookie potentially that can do 70, 80% of the things that he does. What do you think they do about Ridley? Do you think that he's a guy that they bring back?
I figure Ridley's gone, and I think the primary reason is Ridley and his agent are sitting around thinking, everybody's got a whole bunch of money to spend. I'll be one of, if not the best wide receivers they could spend it on. So why would I want to settle in Jacksonville for anything less than absolute top dollar? I figure Ridley's going to want to get out there and test the market. I figure he's dying to do that because this will be his last big deal. And last year he didn't have one. He played without it. So I figure he is dying to get that. I figure he can. I think there's enough teams out there flush with cash that are going to drive up the price. And Jacksonville doesn't have to have him. They need help on defense. They need help in the secondary. They need help on the interior offensive line. You mentioned that. They already had a decent, not great, decent receiving core before he got there. So they're not absolutely going to be devastated if he's not there. They would love to have him, yes, but I don't see that happen, and I think the money is going to take him on out of town.
I unfortunately, for if you're a Jacksonville fan, want Ridley back. Unfortunately, Ben, I think I agree with you. It's just too good of an opportunity. Ridley has kind of had some trials and tribulations throughout his career. So, making sure to get that last, for sure, kind of bigger contract, I think is something that needs to be done probably. But man, I don't know. How many teams? What do you think, Ben? Just a follow-up. What do you think, as far as year-wise, what do you think teams are comfortable giving Ridley? Do you think that's a 2-year deal? Do you think, screw it, we're going to do a 4-year, spread this out? What do you think?
Hey, I'm sure they only want to give him 2 years, but if you're Ridley, you're like, hey, I'm only 29, air quotations. But him and his agent, again, they've got leverage here. It's not like there's a bunch of offensive linemen in free agency that are going to eat up all this money. It's not like there's a bunch of defensive backs that are going to eat it all up. He's going to be one of the top 15 guys. You could argue top 10 or 12 if he gets cut loose, depending on how you want to slice this thing. So he's not going to want to settle for a 2-year deal. He's going to want 4 years is what he's going to want. And I think he can get it.
Ben, I agree. That does it for me and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, Ben, let's go ahead and stay with you and talk about the New Orleans Saints.
All right. So for those of you maybe wondering why we're in a different order this week, it's my fault. I was wanting to swap out a couple teams. So Ronan and Simon are kind enough to swap out a couple teams. And the Saints were one of the teams that I wanted. And so I've got them. Let's start with their cap number, because listen, the New Orleans Saints are playing a different game. They've been a bunch of busy little beavers, and they are just doing it different than a lot of teams are doing it. So here it goes. When the offseason started, they were negative $83 million over the cap, okay? Or $83 million over the cap, however you want to say that. They were bleeding red. Well, when I did this about, I don't know, 2, 3 days ago, they were down to $42 million over the cap. And at this very moment, they are something around $29.5, $30 million over the cap. They're going to keep working on that. This is their plan. This is not something that caught them by the surprise. This is the way they want to do it. However messy it may be, listen, this team, ever since Drew Brees has left, has gone 9-8, 7-10, 9-8. All right. They know what they want to do, and this is what they're going to keep doing for the foreseeable future. This is it. So they don't mind being way over the cap at the start of the offseason. They're going to restructure the heck out of everybody, and they're going to bring the 9-8 band back together again. That's just the way it's going to be, and that's the way they're running things right now. So, even still though, after the $13.5 million break from the NFL, after they've restructured Derek Carr, after they've restructured Carl Granderson, after Nathan Shepard, they've restructured Eric McCoy. They've been busy. And they are still 29 over, so they're going to keep restructuring. So it does two things. Number one, it allows them to keep all their players. But number two, next year they're going to have basically the same set of problems, and they are tied to the same players. So if they want to let anybody go next year, it's going to cost them more dead cap space to do it. But again, no surprises here. This is what they want to do. So let's start with their draft picks. They've got number 14, 45. After that, that's all they got, the top 100, just those two. After that, they got a ton of picks. They'll basically own the draft from 166 to like 191. They have picks all in there, picks almost every single day, just a ton of picks, but most of them are lower picks that they've got. When it looks at their free agents, they've got quite a few, but most of their free agents are not brutal guys that they got to have back. And considering the cap space that they don't have, I don't expect them to be in too big of a hurry to bring all these guys back. Andres Pete moved over to left tackle for a good part of the season and actually looked pretty good doing it. And their offensive line hasn't looked great for the amount of money they're spending on it. So I figure they're going to try to bring him back. They're just going to keep restructuring and bring him back. We'll see. Isaac, I'm going to mispronounce this last name, but Isaac Yiadom, defensive back. He also had a pretty good showing. I expect them to kind of sort of see. Wouldn't cost them much to bring him back just to keep him in the mix. They've got several other guys who are not high impact guys, but guys that they would like to bring back. Won't cost them a lot of money, but it also won't kill them if these guys go. So that's where they're sitting in free agency. If they want to create some more cap savings, they could do it with linebacker DeMario Davis, which they're not going to do. Right tackle James Hurst would save them about $3 million. After that, that's it. They don't have a lot of ways to create cap savings, true cap savings, because they have done it a different way. So don't expect them to release a lot of guys, trade a lot of guys. They're just not going to do it. They're going to restructure everybody they want to keep. And that's just the way that they operate. Team needs, I've got two generic ones. To me, O-line and D-line. They could really use a bit of a boost just to support. Neither one is bad. They could just kind of keep adding in there. The O-line really has underperformed compared to the draft picks and the money they've invested in it. There's no question about it. It's not a bad O-line. It's decent, but it's underperformed compared to how much they have poured into that thing over the past 3 or 4 years. But that could use a little bit of support. And then the defensive line as well, which still has some good players on it, but continue to just buttress and support that. So they could add people all over the place, but that's really my two team needs there. I don't have a lot of questions here on the Saints. They're outsmarting all of us here on their path to mediocrity. So I don't have a lot of questions on the Saints. I'm not even going to ask any here. But I will open the door up if Simon, starting with you, if you have any comments you want to make on New Orleans, man.
So something that is just now starting to get some more buzz is this Ryan Ramczyk injury situation. I feel like it was so quiet during the season when he, yet again, I think third season in a row, like basically just was dealing with that knee injury all year. And apparently, like end of the year, this became a story, again, not highly talked about, but I'm seeing Ran in a lot of places. He's like potentially considering retiring. There's like no cartilage left in that knee. You mentioned offensive line, Ben. Like not so not only from a cap perspective, they could save a handful of money with a post June 1 cut, but just like the state of this line, if that could either continue to be an injury or a situation all year long where he's managing it, do we get into a Bakhtiari situation, or he does just stop playing? And yeah, I think for as much as we want to think about like, oh, can this team take JJ McCarthy at 14 or move, can they trade up for Jaden Daniels and put him behind Carr for a year? This team's got a lot of, I mean, they're these guys that you talked about, they've been restructuring for years or they're doing all these deals with that have been on this team for a long time. These stalwarts are starting to run out. And it happened with Terron Armstead a couple years ago where they finally just had to let him walk. And if Ramczyk is gone too, like this team's in a serious hole, Ben.
Yeah, I agree. That's another thing too, and I'm not, listen, the Eagles do this, but the Eagles win, so I leave the Eagles alone. All right, the Saints do this and they're not winning, so I make fun of them. All right, but listen, this is the way they want to do it. But another problem that you have is you have immovable pieces. Some of these players are desirable players, but because of the huge dead cap pit that crushes the Saints when they trade a guy, and when you add in the high cap number and the age of some of these players, now you're just not going to get anything back on a trade value. And so you say, well, we'll save money by releasing them. Well, that doesn't help unless you do a P6-1 cut. And even that case, half of it's going to fall on next year, basically. So you're kind of just stuck riding these contracts out, and you just hope that all these players are going to be good for the length of the contract. That's kind of what your fingers crossed on here. Ronan, anything you want to hit on here with the Saints?
You know, I just we brought up or I brought it up pre-show. I think the Saints are in a really interesting spot where, you know, they're kind of in that limbo where they can hit the reset button, right? But they don't really have the money or the availability to kind of act on any of it. So they kind of just have to stay in this, you know, Ben, you mentioned it, just kind of realm of mediocrity until they somehow scratch and claw their way out because right now there's no clear way out. This roster, I mean, it's good, but to, you know, contend maybe in like a Super Bowl, It needs a borderline overhaul. So I think the Saints are a really interesting team because they keep running the team the same way, right? That they keep extending everybody or restructuring everybody and kind of kicking that can down the road. And it worked with Breeze whenever you were winning, but now that you're here, at what point do you just kind of give up and say, all right, well, we need to just kind of tear it all down and start anew? It's just an interesting aspect of the Saints and how they run their organization, Ben.
It is. I don't see them changing that anytime soon. They, their general manager, he's kind of entrenched there. He's been around for a while doing things. I don't see them changing this. And just to give you a quick, real quick example here, if you say, hey, let's reset at quarterback, let's bring in a young guy, which I would be in favor of. I mean, you mentioned it, Simon. Let's bring in a young guy. Well, what do you do with Derek Carr? Because if you release him right now, let's say you straight up release him, you've got a dead cap hit of 52.8 just this year. They're like, okay, well, let's do it next year. We'll wait 1 year and do it next year. Well, next year he's got a cap hit of 51 mil, and the dead cap hit on that is 40. And you're like, okay, well, we'll keep him for 2 years, and then the third year. Well, they've already restructured so much that in 2026, he's got a cap hit of $61 million with a dead cap of 28.6. There's for the next 3 years, you've intertwined yourself with this guy deeply. And that's true all up and down this roster. So now you have players that are getting older that you can't trade really. That it's a very messy way to do things if you're good at it. If you're the Eagles and you can bring in coaches and you can draft and develop and all of that, then I'll leave you alone. The Saints don't really seem to know what they're doing, to be honest about it. So they almost need to just take a gap year. You mentioned that, eat the whole thing and then just start over. I don't recommend teams start over, but the Saints are one team that could use kind of a rinse and start over. So, all right, let's move on down. That's enough negativity there on the Saints on my end. The Seahawks, Simon.
All right, the Seattle Seahawks. Another a year of it's ups and downs, right? Geno gets hurt kind of in the middle of the year, and the team didn't really ever fall into place. It was a little bumpy there for a while. Obviously, the coaching staff is now gone. Pete Carroll is gone. Shane Waldron is gone to the Bears, the offensive coordinator. Mike McDonald is in. There's a breath of fresh air, I think, that it's maybe taken Seahawks fans a little while to take in, right? Because I think everyone was pretty heartbroken about Pete Carroll, but I think there should be some room for optimism because you're gonna get something different. And that is interesting when the Seahawks have been the same team for 10 to 12 years. And listen, there's a lot of success and there's a lot of happiness in that when you just know who you are and know you're gonna be a good competitive team. I think I saw a stat that they in the Pete Carroll era, maybe the whole era, or at least a good chunk of it, never trailed by like more than one possession going into the fourth quarter or something like that. Like they're literally just
Wow.
always in a close game. Like they're in, you're always going to get that result. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And as I'm saying all this, like maybe you're not excited. Maybe you're still like, maybe you're at least relieved you get one of the top candidates on the market, right? This isn't a Dan Quinn situation. No offense, Dan Quinn, but it's going to be interesting. So let's get into this here, and we'll get back to Pete Carroll a little bit because I have a question for you guys on that. Pending free agents: defensive lineman Leonard Williams, who they had traded for from the Giants; linebackers Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks; interior offensive linemen, three of them: Evan Brown, Damian Lewis, and Phil Haynes. Brown and Lewis were pretty much full-time starters this year. Phil Haynes, halftime starter, and then tight ends Noah Fant and Colby Parkinson. Cap situation: currently $13 million in cap thereabouts. Further possible moves they could make: they could restructure DK Metcalf, save about 7 mil. They can restructure Tyler Lockett. I know a lot of people have him as a cut candidate. I don't see that, but I could see a restructure or something for Lockett there. Again, about 7 mil. And then the move that seems most likely right now is cutting Jamal Adams, which would save another 7 mil. They traded for Julian Love, the safety, last year. Adams was already like talked about maybe moving into a linebacker position, and then he gets hurt a couple times last year. I think that ship has sailed for those guys. when Ronan, when you look at this team, they traded for Leonard Williams. It was kind of almost seen as an all-in move, right? Second round pick, and then I think maybe a later day three pick as well. But second round pick for Leonard Williams, 30 some years old, interior defensive lineman. Do you think they should bring Leonard Williams back for again? The defense didn't really get any better when they signed him. Does Leonard Williams come back?
I think they should. You've already given up the capital for him. If he's willing to, and he's willing to at a price that you're comfortable with, yeah, absolutely. Because if not, trading the second was kind of for nothing. So you want to see some production out of him. It wasn't necessarily from this year, because as you mentioned, didn't really see that significant of an increase in production from the defensive line, but. I think if you bring him back and maybe add around him, that would be something that maybe you see some more production from him in the future. He is up there in age, right? I think you said in his 30s, so nothing super major, right? Probably no 5-year deal. But if you can bring him back on a 2-year deal that makes sense on both sides, yeah, bring Leonard Williams back because, I mean, you're talking to the podcast where, we're all on the interior defensive line train. So, anytime you can shore up the middle, you should be in good standing. And whenever they made this move, we were kind of all over. We were like, okay, like this makes complete sense. This could be a game changer for him, and it wasn't really, but I think it's still a move that you might as well stick to, Simon.
I'm so curious to see how Mike McDonald plans out this defense because the Seattle changed from a 4-3 to a 3-4. I forget if it was just this year or if it was last year, but it was recently. So they had all these linebackers in place, guys like Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner in and out, then back in. And then they changed their defensive scheme just very recently in the Pete Carroll era. They signed Draymond Jones for this year. He's kind of that smaller D tackle. Then they trade for Leonard Williams, this bigger defensive. The vision that Mike McDonald has for this defense and what he'll do from schematics and players and will be very interesting. So let's talk about some ways they can invest in this team. I mentioned the 13 million cap space, not a ton, but they have something there. Draft capital. Very, very similar. Like I said, they traded their second round pick for Leonard Williams, but they acquired an extra third round pick from Denver in last year's draft. So they're at 16, 78, 81, so roughly two day two picks still, middle of the draft. And then they're 4 day three picks. Some team needs, like I said, it's gonna be really interesting. And here's where I wanted to get into the Pete Carroll stuff. Because all the scuttlebutt since Pete Carroll was fired and his subsequent press conferences is this is over Geno Smith and the quarterback situation, right? Pete Carroll wanted to just tweak some things on this roster. He wanted to go back in next year with Geno Smith. Front office ownership maybe is ready to go another way, look for the next franchise, long-term guy. How Mc and then all and then when Geno's bonus, right? His roster bonus got paid early, or at least picked up. The framing was so interesting, right? Because Adam Schefter, normally it's just, hey, they've guaranteed Geno's roster bonus, $12.7 million, whatever it was, guaranteed for this year. But then he adds the little, Geno is now free to be cut for this amount, traded for this amount, or on the roster for this amount. And now, like, everything's a buzz, right? So 16th overall pick. Is this J.J. McCarthy? Is this team a trade-up team? Is this team a Michael Penix team? All this stuff. And when you bring in Mike McDonald, who can be future, you can think long-term with because he is that younger coach. And he's also defensive-minded. So you're like, hey, we've invested a lot into the defense. So let's see what he can do with the guys we have on the roster or some of the free agents. What do you start doing? How do you start viewing the quarterback position? So before we get any further in the team needs and what they can do in the draft, Ben, quarterback situation for the Seahawks right now, I know you'll probably take this in a cap perspective as well, but just like when you're looking at this team and like, changing the head coach and what is ownership and management up to, how do you see this team in terms of looking at their quarterback for 2024 and beyond?
I hope they get a young guy out of the draft. Now they're not going to trade up. This organization isn't going to do that, and Mike McDonald's not going to do that. They're not going to go in the top three and do that. But I figure somewhere here in the draft, they're going to find a guy that looks like, hey, this guy fits us, and he's got some potential, and we're going to have him compete with Geno this year. The interesting thing is, because you mentioned the cap, because I always take it in that direction, right? I didn't expect them to do this, but they restructured Geno Smith, so you know. It looks like he's on board for this year, whether they bring a young guy in or not, because now his cap hits 26, but the dead cap for him is 39.7 since they restructured. So you're not going to save anything by letting him go. It's next year when it's 38 cap hit with 13 and a half dead that he's probably gone. So I figured next offseason he's gone now that they went ahead and restructured him, which I did not expect them to do, because you're right. It was almost like he's Pete Carroll's pet rock, pet plant, pet whatever, pet project, and everybody else wants to go in a different direction. Here they are restructuring him after Pete Carroll has shown the exit. I did not expect that. It really surprised me, but there it is. I don't think that changes Mike McDonald's plan and John Schneider's plan, though. I think they're going to do their best to compete this year. But in the draft, they're going to try to sow the seeds of McDonald's future defense, and they're going to try to grab a young quarterback. I figure I just don't see how they're not going to try to do both. I really don't. That's what I'm looking at.
So to dive more into the rest of their needs, I mentioned two full-time starters on the interior offensive line, one part-time starter. They drafted a late-round center last year. They found kind of a part-time starter. I forget who it was, but that split time with Phil Haynes this year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. But I mean, Damian Lewis was a draft pick who's basically played almost every single game at left guard for 4 years. And then Evan Brown was brought in as that veteran. Three linebackers. They're three main linebackers from last year. I mentioned Bobby Wagner, Jordan Brooks, and then even Devin Bush, all free agents, right? With what Mike McDonald does, do they maybe go, try to rebuild that thing, right? He was just there with the Ravens with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith. Does he try to do something new in that image? Or does he say, look, Jordan Brooks is still young. He came off the injury last year and made it back out onto the field. Let me see what I can turn him into. Bobby Wagner is a Hall of Famer. Let me see what I can do with it. That'll be interesting. And then defensive tackle. Yeah, do they keep Leonard Williams? I think either way, even with what the question is at quarterback, they do need to address the trenches, and maybe it's just bringing their guys back, right? But either way, that investment, if it's all their financial capital goes to bringing in 70% of those players, right? The O-linemen and the defensive front seven guys. And then in the draft, they can focus on the quarterback, right? Use that third round pick to move up a couple spots if they need to jump somebody for a McCarthy, or jump into the second round for a Penix or a Bo Nix, something like that. That'll be really interesting. But if Geno is full stop their guy for this year and they're not going to worry about quarterback till maybe 2025, then I would expect some of that early pick to be an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle, right? Maybe the Texas guy and the Illinois kid, right? I think those are like the first round defensive tackles. You throw one of them in there and you see what sticks, but that does feel a little boring for the new head coach who's supposed to be brought in to help this already invested in defense be better, right? So I don't know. Just go get Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. You're up there in the Northwest. Let
There you go.
him hit some people.
Keep them in the region.
Yeah, that's everything I got on Seattle. So let's jump into the Cincinnati Bengals with Ronan. Ronan, take it away.
I love it. Now the Bengals are obviously coming off of a different season. Burrow got hurt, missed most of last year, and kind of derailed things for the Bengals and their plans for, another Super Bowl appearance. Now, they have a lot of money. This is something, right, that you look around at the contenders in the league, they don't typically have a whole lot of money. The Bengals are sitting at about $50 million, and after doing the prep for this episode, it's dawned on me that Cincinnati's doing it right, guys. The way that they're building their team, it's impressive. There are probably things here and there that you can kind of point to and say, oh, well, they could have done this different. But overall, it's been a pretty impressive job. They had just signed T. Higgins, and they are sitting at about $50 million to play with this offseason if they so choose. Tagging Higgins, I believe the tag is north of 20. I think it's like 21,
Yep.
so somewhere in that
Almost 22.
area.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, they were originally, I guess, sitting on 70 million, which for a contender just sounds insane. Because when last offseason we were talking about like the Bears sitting on 70 million. So they've got some room to spend if they choose to, but with Burrow's contract not fully kicked in, that helps things out a ton, as does Ja'Marr Chase not getting in his extension yet. Once those two, get on the books for, what they deserve, that number will definitely be diminished. But there are still probably a couple different areas that they could address this season if they want to. Now, as far as pending free agents go, right tackle Jonah Williams, who I believe played every snap last season, is going to be a pending free agent. He was moved, I believe, right from left to right tackle, and not the biggest fan of that. So I believe he's going to probably hit free agency, test it as a left tackle, and see if he can get paid as one. I don't think he's necessarily one of the top tackles in the league, into like top eight, let's say. But I think, if he does hit free agency, he will generate some buzz, and he will be one of the higher paid guys this offseason. Wide receiver Tyler Boyd played about 75% of the time. He's going to be a free agent. Chidobe Awuzie played about 65% of the time. He's going to be one. DJ Reader, the interior defensive lineman, he's going to be one. He played about 49% of the time. And then tight end, who they brought in last se off season, Irv Smith, who played about 30% of the time. That makes up kind of the notable free agents for the Bengals this offseason. Now, I noted they have $50 million to play with. If they want to open up, the books a little bit more, they could cut guys like Alex Kappa or Ted Karras, who are interior offensive linemen. That would free up about $5 million each, as would cornerback Mike Hilton. But I don't think any of those are super necessary. I don't expect truly any of those to be made, unless, something super drastic happens. Draft capital, they've got 9 picks this year. They've got the 18th pick. They've got the 49th pick in the second round. They've got the 80th pick in the third round. That makes up the top 100 picks that they've got. And then they've got a fourth, a fifth, another fifth, a sixth, and 2 sevenths to make up their nine. As far as team needs go, there isn't anything super glaring. Tackle is definitely something that they're going to have to address, because with Williams leaving, they're going to have to figure something out on that right side. And then I've also got interior defensive line, especially with Reader potentially heading out. Shoring up that interior defensive line is a must. Edge rushers, I think they could pass. I don't think that's anything that they need to address this offseason. Maybe some depth, if they are going to. But shoring up that interior defensive line is first and foremost on the defensive side, in my opinion. Maybe going and grabbing like another corner would be beneficial. But Simon, I'll go ahead and kick it to you. This Bengals team, right? It's not, they weren't what they truly are. Last season wasn't the true indicator of what this Bengals team is, right? Joe Burrow, obviously injured. Browning comes in, didn't play terrible. Might have earned himself a quarterback two role for somebody, if not the Bengals in the future. What are you expecting from the Bengals this season? Are you expecting them to maybe have a couple of hiccups right after last season, and maybe some inexperience and some rust? Or do you think that they're going to be firing right out the gate like they were a couple of years ago?
Yeah, great question. I will be interested to see what they do at right tackle. I think that's a very clear, good job by you, first round option. It'll be interesting. They might end up with like a project guy, so we'll see a Tyler Guyton. That name comes to mind, but yeah, I think they're gonna be on. I think Burrow's gonna come out and just ripping it, and just I think everyone's gonna be pumped that T. Higgins is still around. I expect Boyd. I mean that they all that cap space now. They might be the team that's most thankful for this jump in cap space, because they're like, let's just bring this team back that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and you know, and go for it and see what happens, right? And you know, if T. Higgins doesn't make it back for 2025 because of wherever the cap is, then we go all in for this 1 year. And you mentioned it, nine draft picks, and they've been drafting really smart over the last few years, right? Just drafting good rotational players, good guys behind. They're not just, it's not a we have to fill this spot kind of team in terms of drafting, right? They're continually drafting and developing guys that are playing. And they drafted two wide receivers last year, right? Charlie Jones and Andre Josefa. So is one of those guys their slot player for this year? And can one of those guys be the T. Higgins guys for next year? I think this team's going to hit the ground running. I think this cap, whether it's to upgrade some of these spots or get a little younger at some of these spots, or just say, we're bringing all our guys back and we're going for it. They're in a good spot running.
I completely agree. Ben, as I mentioned earlier, they've got nine draft picks. Let's say you're the GM of the Cincinnati Bengals, right? And let's say you get to pick 10, and there's a couple guys that you really like there, and you're not exactly sure that they're going to fall all the way down to 18. Is a trade up this year something that you could see the Bengals doing? They're not necessarily the most proactive team whenever it comes to the draft and moving around, but you know they're obviously a contender, and you know 18, and hopefully, at least they're hoping this is the earliest that they draft for the next 5 years. Do you think a move up is something that they'll at least consider, Ben?
I think they should. I don't think they will, though. You mentioned it. It's just not in their DNA. If you were to kind of put them on a Madden screen and look at their attributes, their draft development skills and their scheming skills are way up, like just through the roof. The only thing they don't draft and develop well is the offensive line. They've tried everything on that offensive line, but they've won anyway, even though the offensive line has struggled a lot. Joe Burrow's just that good. But listen, you got Lou Anarumo on the defensive side of things. He just masterminds that defense. They're always tough, efficient. They always get better. They don't have weaknesses when it comes to scheming and game planning. And then on the offensive side, Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow have just masterminded the offensive side of things. I mean, it's almost like they don't need the cap space and they don't need the draft picks necessarily as far as trying to find advantages there. They're really not the best at using all those at their advantage. They just draft, develop, scheme. Draft, develop, scheme. It's kind of similar to what Kansas City does, to be honest, because they got their quarterback, they got their coach. So, I mean, they are just fantastic at that. So, honestly, if I were them, I would be looking, and I don't know that either one's going to happen. I would be sitting there like a hawk, waiting on either L'Jarius Sneed to maybe get loose from the Chiefs, or Justin Antoine Winfield to get loose from the Buccaneers and throw some money at them. And just lock down that secondary even more, because it's not the greatest secondary. Excellent on the front end, not the greatest on the back end. And that when you talk about adding Snead to that defense, I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the Chiefs are going to let him go. But man, what a boost that would be! That's really where I would be looking at. On the draft side of it, though, really quick, you did ask me, I would trade up and draft an offensive lineman if I'm sitting there at 18 and I see a guy at 10 that I like. I'm going to be drafting one of those guys. That's what I'm doing. But that's it. By the way, you mentioned the benefit the Bengals got here. One of y'all did on the cap space thing. Nobody was waiting to run quicker to a franchise tag once the cap boost came out than the Bengals were to go running a tag T. Higgins, which maybe they were going to do anyway. But as soon as they heard that they had the surplus, boom, they ran as fast as they could to go offer that to T. Higgins.
Rightfully
so.
Real quick to jump in, Ben, you guys were just talking about like the idea of trading up, and I was talking about the tackle. I wanted to look into this because Ronan, you said something that sparked it. The Bengals aren't very aggressive in the draft, right? We don't see them trade up very often. In this story by John Breach of CBS Sports, done last year, the Bengals have never, in 25 years, traded up in the first round. They have
Wow.
not done it. Last year in the 2023 draft, they traded their sixth round pick, number 209, to move up from 63 to 60 to take Cam Taylor-Britt. They also
Getting
traded their
wild, man.
seventh round pick, number 226, to move up from 174 to 166 to take Tyson Anderson. Dan Hoard of, I think, Sports Illustrated talked to Duke Tobin, director of player personnel, about this. And this is what Duke Tobin said. Quote, "Mechanically, it was easy to do. From my heart standpoint, it was very difficult to do because I hate to give up draft picks." He later said, "Giving up a pick, whether it's a seventh round pick or a sixth round pick, in my view, that's a chance at a real player that we're foregoing." So this guy like hates trading picks to try to like, because I mean, he and like the Bengals are old school, right? That this is a team that we were talking about last year with the Burrow extension, like, don't guarantee a ton of money because they don't have a ton of cash on hand. So like, this is a team that like, if they were to get aggressive, which I'm with Ben, like I would absolutely do. I would want to plug and play right to. I would want to go get a J.C. Latham or a Talise Fuaga, and just plug him in at right tackle and be good to go. But man, it would be astronomical if they did. And I just thought these quotes were hilarious. Like we're like a sixth or seventh round, like screw that. Like we were just sitting here like they should just trade both their thirds to go get a guy at third to move up four spots. And this guy's like, I lost sleep over pick 226, man. Like it broke my heart because that could have been a future Ring of Honor guy and the black and orange. And that's incredible. I love that. Football's hilarious. It's the best.
It's we were talking about the Saints and their mentality of running things. It's fun to kind of look around the league and see how each organization is kind of ran differently and see how it's not necessarily one thing that fits all, right? Not one size that fits all. It works I guess different ways for different teams and people. So you know what, Ben, you were talking about how the Bengals are good at kind of progressing players and getting the I guess schematically kind of laid out. I guess if it works, don't fix it, right, Simon?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it for sure. Let's talk to a team that certainly has their way of doing things next with the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, a fantastic year for them and first year starting quarterback Jordan Love. Pending free agents for the Packers right now in this offseason. Hold on your hats, everybody. Defensive backs, Keyshawn Nixon, hope I pronounced that right, Jonathan Owens, Rudy Ford, Darnell Savage Jr., and Corey Ballantyne. Offensive linemen, John Runyon Jr. and Josh Nyman, and running back AJ Dillon. One, two, three, four, five defensive backs that played significant snaps for this team last year. All free agents. Obviously, they have a new defensive coordinator coming in, who is just stoked to be in the NFL, by the way. Everyone, go listen to that press conference. This guy could not be happier to be done with the college game. That's hilarious. And then two guys that have, John Runyon Jr. started a bunch of games since he's been drafted by them. And Josh Nyman has been a spot starter for them on the offensive line as well. We'll talk about that later. And then AJ Dillon, another staple of this team. So pretty significant in terms of free agents. But this team right now is all about their young guys, which is good because cap status, they aren't in the best position at the moment right now. Just about $2 million in cap space, and I'm gonna go double check that even because we are in peak guys getting cut in restructure time right now. So the Green Bay Packers, as of right now, are $2 million in effective cap space, $7 million current as things currently stand. So we'll see what happens there moving forward. The best thing to do, man, if they want to cut some real space, it's cutting David Bakhtiari, and I have no idea what's going to happen, and I have no idea what his plan is. I mean, he basically took last year off. it's going. I have no idea what's going to happen here. But luckily for this team, between the Bakhtiari situation and then Ronnie Junior and Josh Nyman, this team just drafts 2 to 3 offensive linemen every year, it feels like, and it's fantastic. They get Zach Tom a couple years ago. Last year they get Rasheed Walker in the 7th round. Sean Ryan, the UCLA guy, they draft. So they've got offensive linemen on deck for sure. Other moves they could do, they could restructure Elgton Jenkins, Rashawn Gary, and obviously extend quarterback Jordan Love, who I believe his cap hit for next year is about almost $13 million. So
How great is that?
I mean, you love to see it. You just love to see it. That's a top above average, top 15, top 12 quarterback for a cap hit of 13. We were just talking about Derek Carr's cap hit and not being at that level anymore, right? You love that. But like, you could lower that because boy, oh boy, do you need to run and get that extension done right now. You don't want that guy to hit the open market or even get close to it. So you could bring that down a few million as well by working out a long-term deal for your new franchise quarterback. So there's certainly things they could do, but Dave Bakhtiari, just moving on from that would be the probably best and cleanest decision to free up a bunch of cap. Draft capital, this team has plenty of picks as they always do. They still have they have an extra second from the Rodgers trade, an extra third from trading Rasul Douglas last year with the Bills, so another defensive back that got overturned. They're projected to be awarded 3 day 3 comp picks as well, for a total of 11 picks in this draft, with 5 in the top 100, 25, 41, 58, 88, and 91. So a team that's already one of the youngest in the NFL, especially on the offensive end, potentially overturning their defensive back room, is 11 picks. Looks like they can just continue to build through the draft. So Ben, we love our offensive linemen. This David Bakhtiari situation, would you try to like keep him through camp and just see if he even wants to play and can maybe come back and be the guy, and you just use your draft capital to build this thing out? Or, because it's none of these free agents are guys that you like have to have, right? I mean, John Runyon Jr. has probably been the most notable player for the longest time of the free agents, but he's a replaceable level player. Or do you move on from Bakhtiari now and try to do a little something in free agency, do you think?
I would move on from him myself. I love Bakhtiari, and I'm certain as long as he's on the field, he's still highly effective, probably better than what 80% of the people you could bring into his spot, I'm sure. But how often is he even going to be on the field these days now that you look at the age and injury combo? Plus, it rubs me a little bit the wrong way. I don't know his whole injury situation from last year. It didn't sit well with me that he just kind of disappeared on him last year. Again, maybe there was more to it on the injury side than what, we have been fully exposed to. That wasn't great either. I mean, they went on a run without him, So I would go ahead and move on. By the time you consider they can save what 20 mil, I think you said, by letting him go. So, they'll be fine either way, but I think I would move on.
Yeah, it feels like it's about that time. So team needs, as I mentioned, defensive backs, definitely the priority. It was such a mixed bag this year. They got good snaps from Ballantyne. Darnell Savage Jr., former, high draft pick for them. He got moved into like a nickel role early in the year, and then he got back into safety and started playing better by the end of the year. But I think investing heavily in the defensive back room with all these, early draft picks would be a really good idea. New defensive coordinator Jeff Hatley, who I mentioned, he can have a hand in picking those guys and rebuilding that back seven. I think they'll also look at the offensive line just because they always do. And yeah, if it means you can get maybe you go ahead and just get a guy that can replace Bakhtiari. Maybe that's what you do at 25, right? You take the depth of what the corners have been the last few years, and it looks like another deep corner class, and you focus on that in day two instead. And at 25, maybe you can take a swing on one of these developmental guys, right? There's also the I think there's a Yale kid that's a developmental guy as well. Maybe you take one of those and see if somebody can develop into your left tackle for the future. Ronan, when you look at this team, man, what do you think is the biggest need? I mean, you got a young offense already. What do you think is the biggest need on top of it?
I think obviously the corner or just defensive back situation in general is something that's got to be addressed, but a wide receiver is something that is interesting to me for the Packers this offseason. I don't think it's something that they need. I don't think it's necessarily the biggest weakness for them, but I think, let's say, a guy like someone we mentioned earlier, Calvin Ridley, becomes available, right? That would be an interesting team for him to land, right? A veteran that kind of knows the ropes, stepping in, kind of be that number one, free up Watson and Dobbs to, kind of do their thing. I think between Watson and Dobbs, one of them can become a number one receiver, a 1A, 1B type of deal. So I'm not necessarily saying, hey, this is kind of like the Colts wide receiver situation, right? But if you want to get in that upper echelon of offense, I think bringing in that number one receiver that you can, bank on, snap in and snap out, would be great, because not everybody's going to be, a Mahomes level of talent where you can go to the Super Bowl with a Rashee Rice and, company. Granted, dude's got Travis Kelce, so, that's an entire thing in its own, but, he's got Kelce. He's got his number one receiver. He's got his, guy that defenses have to, hey, we're going to have to double him up, or, we got to pay attention where he's at all game long. So getting that premier guy, I think, would be a luxury for the Packers this offseason, Simon.
That'd be really interesting with those four young guys. You mentioned Dobbs and Watson, then you add Reed and Wicks into that. And I think there was even another one. But yeah, you go get a veteran as well. Gosh, just like go 100 miles an hour on the offense. That would certainly be a lot of fun. All right, Packers. Young, you're really good. You got another franchise quarterback. Whatever. You don't have to be worried. Let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. Ben, you got the Bucs. What's going on with this team?
All right, so Tampa Bay Buccaneers, excuse me, what a difference a year makes. Last year, they had a cap space situation that was very similar to what the Eagles always have and to what the New Orleans Saints now have annually, which was just wildly in red ink. Well, you fast forward a year, they've got the $13.5 million boost that they didn't expect from the NFL. The $35 million dead cap hit of Tom Brady is now off the books that was on last year. And they've got several free agents that are now, available for them to cut loose if they want to. So they actually have plenty of cap space compared to what they had last year. I think we're sitting at $48 million right now. So they've got $48 million to play with and decide how they want to do that. When it comes to draft picks, they've got number excuse me, number 26 overall, number 57, 89. So not great, but three of the top 100. And then they've got four more draft picks after that. So they've got draft picks to play with. They've got cap space to play with, which is a good spot for them to be in. Just coming 2 years off of Tom Brady, for them to be kind of this clean, if you will, where they can pivot in several different directions if they want to, that's a good spot to be in. It really is. If they want to invest in Baker, they can. If they want to move on and go young guy, they can. They are in a pivot position, and that's a great spot to be in. Coming off of the Tom Brady window, where you basically just had 1 year where you made the playoffs of all things. So, I mean, they're doing great in terms of flexibility. I don't know that they're doing great in terms of winning and advancing their calls for Super Bowl wins, but pivoting here for flexibility, they're doing great. So let's look at some of their free agents. I already mentioned them, Baker Mayfield. It'll be fascinating to see. Almost anybody could have had him a year ago. It'll be fascinating to see if NFL teams are interested in Baker or not, starting with Tampa Bay. And if they are, how much money he can pick up, whether that's 25 mil or 40 mil, or whether everybody just kind of passes and says no thanks. It will be interesting to see. So that's their top free agent in that regard, just because of position. Safety Antoine Winfield, who I mentioned earlier, he's fantastic. He's not necessarily young anymore, necessarily. So, but he's going to cost somebody some money. I would love for them to bring him back. I don't necessarily know that they're going to do that, but I would love to. Linebacker Lavonte David, wide receiver Mike Evans, of course, who everybody knows very well. Kicker Chase McLaughlin is a guy that they'll look at bringing back. And then linebacker Devin White, who I really don't expect to be back, but it has athletic potential that really hasn't been ever fully tapped into. So we'll see there. So that's six guys that they can't bring them all back, I don't think, because it would just cost too much money and kind of load you down. But that's six guys they've got that they really need to think about. They do not have a lot of cap savings options in terms of just trade or release. Wide receiver Russell Gage, I think, is a guy that probably could and should be let go. I think it's an $11 million cap savings if you do that. I don't listen. He wasn't bad last year. I think it was 50 catches, and I forget the yardage side of things. So he wasn't bad, but it's also not. It's not as if he's the guy that's setting the table for them in their offense. So I think if they wanted to use that cap space somewhere else, that they could. So that's really where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are sitting. When it comes to team needs, I've got them as interior offensive line. Center and guard is where I would really love to see them continue to try to work on. And then pick up an edge rusher. I would love to see them continue to try to get younger edge rushers on this team as the defense continues to get older. They're kind of in a transfer kind of a period when it comes to this defense. So I would love to see them to work on the edge as well. So anyway, that's Tampa Bay. I want to kick the quarterback question to Ronan because Ronan, you saw Baker a year ago and now you've seen him this year. How are you feeling about Baker? Not what you think they will do, but what would you like to see them do with Baker?
I would like to see them go another round with them. They don't draft early enough to take one of these premier guys. I guess they could take like a Bo Nix or a Penix or something like that. They're late. Well, potentially, we'll have to see how that all pans out. But they could get a guy late. But I mean, I think Baker played well enough, right, to where he wasn't someone that, you need to clearly upgrade this offseason. I'd just stick with him. I think he just played well enough. I'm honestly a Baker fan, so I'm a little bit biased in that aspect of things. But I don't know who you can bring in for Baker or in place of Baker that's an upgrade. Maybe like a Kirk Cousins or something. But you look at the draft, and it might take 3 or 4 years for one of those later round guys to get where Baker was last year. And, I don't know if the Buccaneers want to wait that long, Ben.
Simon, I'll kick it to you. What would you like to see them do with Baker?
Yeah, I think what would I like? What would I like? I think I'd like them to keep Baker, keep going for it, right? Because what I want is Todd Bowles to continue to get every opportunity, right? And this whole coaching staff. And I think the way you do that is by keeping Baker, because yeah, you don't have to make him a top 10 paid quarterback. Mike Evans has said they're monitoring what they do at quarterback and how that'll impact his decision. Now, if they tag him, that's a different story. But they keep Baker, I think, then they keep Evans. And then nothing stops you on day two from not taking the young quarterback, right? Can Nix fall? Can Penix fall? Is there somebody else that you like that's a young guy? But I think if you keep Baker and you keep Evans, and then this NFC South, you can continue to just kind of push and push and push and see how long you keep this thing going. So I would like them to keep Baker. I want to make one quick note about my Packers talk. We don't even have to talk about this. 5 hours ago, so 7 p.m. Eastern time, they did already restructure Rashawn Gary. So that's where that extra $5 million came from. So just a note for the listeners there. But yeah, Bucks keep Baker. I'm in on that.
I am too. It listen, my ultimate dream would be for them to be get aggressive, trade up, get the quarterback they really want, be kind of set for the next 3 years with what they want to do. They're not going to do that. They're not even going to think about it. They're just not. So second plan is, and listen, I'm not paying, there's zero chance I'm paying Baker 40 a year or even 30 a year. If he wants that, and if he can get it somewhere else, go get it somewhere else. I will move on. Okay. But if I can get him 20, 25 million for the next 2 seasons, and I'm not on the hook for 25, and I can bring in a young guy, you mentioned it, maybe I think I trade back from 26 into early second round because somebody's going to want that 26th pick for some player. So you trade back into early second round. You pick up the young quarterback you want who's sitting right there early second round. He sits there and he competes with Baker, but Baker probably wins first year And then 25, you have two decent options what you want to do. At 20, 25 million a season, I'm okay with that. If he wants and thinks he can get the 30 to 40, have at it, man. I'll move on. So that's where I'm at on that as well, because I do think that's the play and probably their best one. All right, that's the Buccaneers, and now we move on to our two hosts' favorite teams, the Steelers. Simon, take it away, man.
It's a really good thing that this all worked out to make these the last two teams of the night, because we can't spend 30 minutes on each team commiserating and feeling sad. But here's the Pittsburgh Steelers situation. So pending free agents, not bad at all. Lead corner Levi Wallace and Shannon Sullivan, defensive lineman Montrevious Adams, special teamer. I'm throwing the special teamer on here. Miles Killebrew, Pro Bowl special teamer, Miles Killebrew, I should say. And then quarterback Mason Rudolph, all pending free agents. We'll get to Mason Rudolph later. Cap situation, about 9 million in cap space. Further possible moves, they've already made them, man. Second year, third year, maybe now, GM Omar Khan moves quickly. They've already released Chukwuma Okorafor, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Cole, and Presley Harvin. Those were really all their major moves. They still have two kind of big ones in their back pocket. Allen Robinson, wide receiver, currently has a cap hit of $10 million. They could save nearly all of that. I don't think any of that's guaranteed. If they were to straight up cut him, I imagine they're trying to get him to just like accept a significant pay decrease, and that's why he's still on this team. He doesn't have a roster bonus due, so they could wait all the way till the first of the league year. And then Patrick Peterson, cornerback, kind of got moved into a nickel slash safety role with the emergence of Joey Porter Jr. last year. They could save about 6 to 7 mil if they were to outright cut him. I imagine that would not happen, unless he won't budge on that that roster bonus that he has. That's about $3 million. So they have some more moves to make, but they've already made a lot of them. So they don't have a ton of cap space. They could do their restructures. Highsmith, Watt, Minka. Extend Cam Hayward probably is going to happen, lower that cap hit too. But not a ton of room for them. Draft capital, they traded their fifth to the Rams, who we'll talk about next, for the Rams' fourth in the Kevin Dotson trade last summer. So they're picking at 20, 51, and 84. Those are their three top 100 picks. Team needs. Oh man, and you guys can tell me if this is just me looking at my favorite team, but it feels like these guys got a lot of needs, right? So you got tackle, right? You released one tackle in Chuks Okorafor, who got benched during the year. Left tackle Dan Moore Jr. did not have a good year in pass protection. So tackles and each center is a stone cold lock of a need. This is a first or second round draft pick waiting to happen. Mason Cole was the real only full time center on the team last year, and they released him, something they don't normally do. So look for them to probably sign a free agent, a cheap guy in free agency, and then go draft a guy early. They need a corner because Patrick Peterson can't do it, and Levi Wallace probably not coming back. They need a linebacker. They had three starting linebackers last year, essentially, and two of them had season-ending injuries, and one of those two is a free agent. So that, do the math there. They probably need a young guy to come in. Defensive line depth, and then quarterback. It's sticky. So it's tough. I don't love it. So there's a lot going on for this team right now. I'll probably need you guys to talk me off the ledge, but let's just open this thing up first. Ronan, it's really the only thing we have to talk about. I mean, I would sit here and talk to you guys about the tackle and center options all day long. Center's happening one of the first two rounds. Next Steelers franchise center, I'm here for it. But quarterback situation. Got Kenny Pickett coming off the injury. Mitch Trubisky is cut. Mason Rudolph is a free agent. What do you think about the Steelers and their quarterback situation?
Yeah, you said it perfectly. It's just a sticky situation. They're in a position where, let's say they draft a guy in the first or second round, they completely stunt Kenny, right? Like, it's over
Yeah,
for Kenny.
Kenny's done.
You can't bring in a first or second round guy to compete with another first or second round guy. So you can't go young. So that leads you to, right, probably going veteran. And that's Russell Wilson, question mark, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins for like the 15th time this episode. I mean, like, not super attractive quarterbacks that you're like, all right, this is going to make the Steelers go over the top, right? So, I mean, maybe if you bring in a Russell Wilson for a very, very, very team-friendly deal, you could make something out of that with, whether that's Kenny growing or, Wilson taking over. But whenever push comes to shove, if you bring in a guy, it's gonna at the very least mess with Kenny's, you would at least assume Kenny's growth, Kenny's confidence, everything. So you kind of have to make your decision now whether Kenny is your guy. And I don't think anybody has seen enough from Kenny Pickett to say, all right, he's their guy. So they're just in this unfortunate situation where they don't want to hurt his feelings, but they also need a good football team. So I don't know what the answer is there for Pittsburgh at the quarterback position because it's so murky. It honestly, if I this is me being armchair GM, I'm bringing in a veteran, whether that's Tannehill, whether that's Wilson, the best veteran that I can for the best deal that I can, and try and get Pickett to, get under that guy's wing and learn everything. But let's say you do bring in a Tannehill, that still might stunt Kenny's growth because, that's split reps. So I don't know. A very unfortunate situation for the Steelers and the whole quarterback aspect of things. But you know what? We could see Kenny come out there next season and just start slinging it. So you never know, Simon.
Ben, I want to talk to you about the left guard situation. No, I'm just kidding. Ben, quarterback situation, Pittsburgh Steelers. How are you feeling?
I haven't entirely given up on Pickett, but I've seen enough to realize it's not looking good, and I really don't think this is going to end well. So at this point, I'm more worried about my franchise and keeping everybody happy and winning than I am about Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's just going to have to man up and compete. And we're bringing in somebody to compete with him. As a matter of fact, we may even bring in somebody to give the starting job to, and Pickett can just deal with it. It's kind of where I'm at. And I haven't given up on him completely. I still think there might be something there, but percentages have gone way down, right? If you're looking at what that win percentage of a game, instead of it being 60% in your favor, it's now gone the other direction. It's now 60% in the other team's favor, right? So that's where I'm at on that. And I love to pick it, but I've seen 2 years of this and it just isn't kicking in. So, that's where I'm at. But I listen, let me paint my dream scenario here for Pittsburgh Steelers,
Oh
okay?
Lord. Oh no.
Here it comes. All right. So I did
They
this for the
tried Mike
Falcons. I'm gonna
Tomlin
do it for the
to the Washington
Steelers.
Commanders for a future first round pick. I can already it's coming.
All right, here it comes. If it was me, if I got what I wanted for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're going to go after Justin Fields. It's not going to be super expensive.
Fields.
Just go ahead and bring him in. I'm going to throw up if they bring Russell Wilson on this team. I am absolutely going to lose my crap. There is that I no. Justin Fields, bring him in. Let him play make on this team. He doesn't have to be Mr. Accuracy or Mr. Wonderful or Mr. Joe Montana. Just let him make plays. Then after that, I'd love to bring in at number 20 right there in the draft, Jackson Powers Johnson, who I know you love, Simon. I like him too. Bring him in right there. In the second round, you might have to trade up a little bit. They're just going to take some aggressiveness here. Trade up a little bit and get Zach Frazier, center from West Virginia. Bring him in there. I think that's a great fit just all the way across the board. And then here's that caveat. With that little bit of cap space that you got, sit around and wait. I mentioned this for another team. I don't remember who. See who shows up, maybe between Antoine Winfield and L'Jarius Sneed. If you can grab either guy, it fixes a lot of problems on the back end for Pittsburgh. And now you got something that Mike Tomlin can really work with because he's a master at working with stuff, but he needs a little more than what he's got. So he ain't quite got enough. He's got some, but needs a little more, and that would really set them up very well, I think. I would love to see all of that. Simon.
The fan, just the fan would love to see Justin Fields on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm talking about Simon Short, the fan, because I love Justin Fields. I think there's still something there. I obviously love the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that would almost be a dream, right? A dream made to get a young, very interesting, very fun, high potential quarterback on your favorite team. But I have so much personal credit riding on both of these situations, that pairing them together might just bankrupt me, emotionally speaking, if it were to not work out. That said, man, Fields is a good Smith, good fit for Arthur Smith, right? And that was why everyone was putting him in a Falcons jersey last year. I'm not buying into the hype. I think this team is giving Pickett another chance. I'm with Ronan. Not so much that I care about the development of Pickett at this point, because I think he is who he is. I don't think he's got any more to develop to. I think he's got more to show, because in the one game that he was healthy, where Matt Canada wasn't there, he threw for over 300 yards, right? Still didn't, I think only had one touchdown still. So, like, that's still not great. There's a clear ceiling on Pickett. That was how I felt when he came in. That's how I felt this whole time. I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 guy. I don't think he's a guy you give a big second contract to. So yeah, that said, you should probably just move on now and do something. I love the Fields option for a lot of these teams that we talked about tonight, because I know a lot of people in Steeler circles are saying, oh, if you trade for him, you got to pick up the fifth year option. Oh, you got to work out an extension. Oh, he has to be a. No, he doesn't. You trade for him, you don't pick up the fifth year option. His cap charge is like $2 million this year. Yeah, it's a second round pick out, but it's for a flyer with high potential. And then you franchise tag him after this year, if you after you know the, this year if you need to. If you bring anybody under the age of 30 on this team, yeah, Pickett's done, right? If you're going for Fields, if you're going for a draft pick, I wanted to do the third round pick, that pick 84. I was loving a quarterback there for a long time. And then all those quarterbacks in that range kind of went back to school, right? The Shedeur Sanders, the Carson Beck, the Quinn Ewers. Now there's not really a guy you like at that range. So yeah, you're talking about moving up from 51 into the top 40 for a Knicks or a Penix. I don't love those ideas. So yeah, but at the end of the day, I think they're gonna see what they have in Pickett for one more year. I think they're gonna try to bring Mason Rudolph back. I think that's probably pretty high likelihood. And they're going to let those guys, quote unquote, compete in the offseason. And that just means it's going to be Pickett's job again. And we'll all just do this again. So we won't go any further in that. Ben, my question, because we have to do this, was your draft scenario get both Jaxson Powers-Johnson and Zach Frazier? Or
Yes,
you do one of those
absolutely.
two things? I love it.
No, I do both. Yeah. Listen, the two offensive linemen that they just let go, my feeling was, having looked at the team over the past year or two, as I looked at these guys, and we talked about this the past two off seasons, is that it was more Tomlin and the scheme that was allowing these offensive linemen to look decent than it was their talent level. And that I really felt that way. So I really wanted to see them continue to infuse talent there on that offensive line, like they started doing last year, like serious talent, not just, hey, fit and scheme, fit and scheme.
Tomlin had a quote, and this will be the last thing I say. Tomlin had a quote, I think it last year, maybe at the Senior Bowl or something. And he was like, I hate when people do like the online scouting, right? And they're like, oh, well, this guy's good, but he can't do this. This guy, and a lot of people say this, but his idea was just like, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? If there's a guy that can't do something, I'm supposed to fix that. I'm a coach, right? So like, you don't like that guy's hand placement. That doesn't mean I shouldn't draft him. I should draft him and say, put your hands here instead. And like, that's why we're all here. I love that
Right.
guy. Born to coach football. All right, Ronan, take us home, man. You got the LA Rams. Let's finish it out.
Alrighty, so the LA Rams are currently sitting on just under $40 million. Looks like 39,900,000 some change. So a little bit of spending money. The Rams have kind of been on a financial roller coaster the past couple of seasons, and now they are at the, I guess it depends on what you call or how you determine it, but they're on the high or the low of this roller coaster now, and they've got some spending money. They've already made a couple moves to free up some cap space. Brian Allen was cut. He was the team's starting center from, I don't remember exactly when, but he lost his job, I believe, in 2022 after getting injured. And then last offseason, he and Coleman Shelton had a fight throughout training camp. Not an actual fight, position battle. And Coleman Shelton won it. Allen was on the bench, and now he was cut to free up $5 million. As far as pending free agents go for the Rams, the guy I just mentioned, Coleman Shelton, the center who played 97% of the time last season, he's listed as a pending free agent. He's a guy that the Rams have got to bring back to shore up that offensive line. It's not a bad offensive line, actually, whatsoever. They outperformed they at least outperformed expectations last year. But they do have a couple of offensive linemen pending free agency because they also have left tackle Lawrie Jackson, who played 84% of the time, potentially hitting the market. Right guard Kevin Dotson, who the Rams traded for from the Steelers in the trade that Simon mentioned earlier. Dotson played absolutely out of his mind last year. He was playing at a super high level. He's a guy that the Rams have got to bring back. He was a huge part of that offensive line last season for the Rams. Cornerback Akella Witherspoon played 94% of the time for the Rams last season. He's a guy that could come back. He was pretty much their cornerback one last year, so bringing him back would be beneficial, but they do have some young guys. Jordan Fuller, who wore the captain's patch, he's been a big part of the Rams defense the past couple of years. He's set for free agency. He's another guy that the Rams need to bring back. Edge rusher Michael Hoyt, he was kind of everything. He's had a very interesting trajectory, career trajectory. He played 84% of the snaps last year. And then interior defensive lineman Jonah Williams and safety John Johnson kind of make up the notable free agents for the Rams, all playing about 45 or more percent of the snaps. Like I said, a little bit under $40 million as far as cap status goes. If they want to free up some more, cutting a guy like Joseph Noteboom, who they signed on to be their, left tackle of the future after Andrew Whitworth retired, that didn't necessarily go as planned. But Alaric Jackson kind of stepped in and assumed that role. So Noteboom has kind of been a swing tackle, can kind of play just about anywhere on the offensive line, really. Maybe aside from center, I don't know if I've seen him take any center snaps. But he's a guy that it's nice to have him around because he is good enough to put out there and you're comfortable with. But whenever he was starting at left tackle, there was definitely an issue there. So cutting him, freeing up $10 million seems like the route that the Rams will go unless they want an expensive swing tackle slash just depth offensive lineman. So maybe expect that to be closer to 50 million whenever, it's all said and done. We're starting to see some signings. Draft capital. I won't go through these all because the Rams have 11 picks, but they have the 19th pick in the draft, and then they have a second, a third, a second, two thirds, two fifths. Oh, geez, three fifths, fourth, sixth. Good God. All right. So one first, one second, two thirds, three fifths, four sixths. That's the Rams draft lineup. So another year of a ton of drafts, and I don't even know if the compensatory picks have been sent out yet. So we might be looking at potentially even more with Raheem Morris going to Atlanta and all of that. So that all comes down to me talking about what's wrong with my favorite team, right? It's what we all like to do, analyze what's wrong with my team and pinpoint how we can fix it. Now, the Rams have a ton of draft capital, so they can definitely take a couple stabs at filling some holes. But cornerback is, in my opinion, the most glaring issue on this roster. Whether they bring Akella Witherspoon back or not, they are in desperate need of that premier corner. After letting Jalen Ramsey go, it was just kind of like the Will Smith looking around in the empty house, like, oh my God, what happened to the cornerback room? So bringing someone in to be that boundary corner is, in my opinion, first and foremost. I think that there are guys on this roster that can fill that slot role, that nickelback role, pretty well. So bringing in someone who can just strictly play boundary corner is Most important, edge rusher is another position that the Rams definitely need to upgrade. They brought in Young last offseason through the draft. They've got Hoyt, they've got a couple other relatively okay pass rushers, but they need that premier edge rusher. There's been a lot of buzz around the Rams looking into a guy like Brian Burns, looking into a guy like Josh Allen, maybe even like a Bryce Huff. So I think the Rams will definitely look to address edge rusher at some point this offseason, whether that be through free agency or I've heard a lot of buzz about them falling in love with Latu out of UCLA. So if he's there at 19, that might be something they consider. So cornerback and edge are kind of, in my opinion, the two most important team needs. And then I've got quarterback too, as kind of rounding out my team needs for the Rams, because Stafford's not going to be around forever, right? You need to start looking towards the future. I think Les Snead, the Rams general manager, knows that. And you're in LA, man. You move to LA to put butts in seats, and you don't want to be bad. So you want to have a quarterback of the future. You've seen a lot of case scenarios where having a quarterback ride the bench for a year or two works out, right? We just saw Jordan Love go all the way to the playoffs. We've seen what Patrick Mahomes can do. So, I mean, McVay, I think, is a guy that if you bring in a quarterback that is smart enough, right, I think he can really jive with them and really form him into something special. So, we haven't really seen a McVay quarterback, I guess, whatever you want to call it, sculpture, a mold, right? We've seen, Goff, who wasn't necessarily McVay's choice, and then Stafford, who was obviously a veteran. So I think it would be really fun to see what McVay could do with a young quarterback, right? Like a, I don't know, like I want the Rams to get Travis, right, out of Florida State. That would just be absolutely hysterical to me to watch him just like sit under Stafford for a year and have conversations with McVay for an entire year. So with all that being said, guys, Simon, I'll kick it to you. Cornerback, edge rusher, there are a couple holes that you can probably pick and choose at. Safety is going to be something if they don't bring back Fuller and Johnson. Is there anything that whenever you look at the Rams roster is super glaring to you?
I mean, I do want to make sure they re-sign all those offensive linemen that you were talking about. Like, that's going to
Oh,
be
yeah.
huge. Alaric Jackson being a restricted free agent certainly helps. Sitting there at pick 19, right? You could maybe see them going with a guy there, but I think you're right. I think you've patchworked this defense the last 2 years very well with day three picks. It would be nice in a draft that we could see the top guys we mentioned earlier kind of get pushed down in terms of edge rushers. You could go get Quinyon Mitchell right at 19 if he's still there. Like, you could get a premier level defensive player there at 19. You mentioned quarterback. I've seen a lot of connected dudes talking Bo Nix or somebody at 19 there to the Rams, talking about planning for the future. You've built this thing out with a lot of nice players all over the place. That'd be super interesting. But no, I think your assessment's right. I think as long as they keep bring all those offensive linemen back, getting a number one corner or taking a swing on an edge rusher makes the most sense.
Ben, the offensive line, obviously, it might see a complete overhaul. Now, let's say they can't bring back everybody. They have 11 picks in the draft. Is this an offensive line class or just maybe a draft class in general where you like the depth enough to keep all 11 picks? Or do you think that the Rams or and some of these other teams with, 10, 11 picks, do you think that they should maybe move around a little bit?
If it comes to me on the offensive line side of things, I like the depth at the interior offensive line in the draft. Runs out pretty quick at tackle, but that's normal. It always does, right? So if you're looking for interior offensive linemen, I love the depth down there. But I would do all I could to bring back not all of those offensive linemen, but at least a couple of them, make sure I have some good stability there to go with what looks like it's shaping up to be a good young developing offensive line too. So I would keep working on that. Interior offensive line picks lower down just to keep kind of mixing that in and supplementing that. I love everything both of you guys said about this team. Simon, you took it right out of my mouth. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo. I think Ronan, you mentioned Latu from the edge from UCLA. I mean, the way I see it, you guys mentioned all of it, everything I was going to say. You address defensive back through either free agency or the draft. Whichever one you can't feel that way, you catch edge with. So that's the two, the top pick in the draft and free agency. You make two big moves there. You hit your edge rusher, you hit your defensive back. And from there, you just mix and match like Sean McVay's a master of. Rams are one of the teams that actually seem to be able to take on free agents, and they fit very well. There are other teams that take free agents on, and they don't fit very well. The Rams actually seem to be able to assimilate them in just as good as they do draft picks, which not every team can do. So the Rams are in a great spot, loaded with draft picks, loaded with cap space, just to keep, don't let that offensive line completely fall apart by letting everybody go. Bring back as many of those guys as you can, like Simon mentioned. And then I would hit quarterback in the second round if it were me. That's where I would, somebody's going to fall. Somebody's going to be sitting there. So unless you just got one guy in particular, if you're Les Snead that you want, I just sit there in the second round and get my guy. But that's it. You guys said everything.
Ben, I'm right there with you. I don't want the Rams to go quarterback there at 19. I'm pretty much dead set on either corner or edge rusher. But they're at 52 or potentially trading up, right? Let's say you're at pick 44 and there's a guy that McVay's in love with. Pull the trigger. You've got 11 picks. Who cares, right? Give up both thirds at that point. Like, go get your guy. I'm excited to talk to you guys later in the draft process about these quarterbacks, because it seems like all of them are old. It seems like every single one of them are like 26 and like about to get a 401k. So I don't know. This class is going to be a fun one to try and predict, and then once we get to draft day, it's going to be an absolute. It's going to be absolutely bizarre. So that's all I've really got for the Rams. Should be another interesting season. Offensively, there's not really a hole. As long as they can bring back the offensive line, then defensively, they've got 11 picks that they can use, 50 to 75% of those picks to apply towards that defense to, try and find a hidden gem there in the late, they have just named like a billion picks in the fifth and sixth round. So it's going to be an interesting offseason because they always draft at least pretty decently in fifth and sixth rounds. Puka Nacua calling your name. Go get six Puka Nacuas and then you're good. Right, Simon?
That's all you gotta do, baby. That's all you gotta do. Ben, anything else here before we get out here tonight?
Well, I will just say that after you get past the top three guys in the draft, the top three quarterbacks, quarterback projections right now are all over the place. I mean, by rounds, when you look at the mocks. So, Bo Nix, nobody knows yet how the NFL is going to look at him. Same thing with Michael Penix. Same thing with, there's another guy I can't even pull out
McCarthy,
right now.
JJ.
Yeah, exactly. McCarthy. Those three guys, they are all over the place about what teams think is actually going to happen there. You even get farther down, the guys you can get would be Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt. Those aren't high-level talent guys, but you talk about guys that have experience, can throw the football, and are mobile. Give McVay something to work with. If you don't want to get one of these high-end guys, just get somebody for McVay to work with. I mean, it would be, give him a year or two under Stafford and just see what he can do. So, it's not a bad option. It's quite a draft to be able to do that stuff with.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll continue to get more information because the combine is this week. Guys started, I think, reporting today. It's Monday as we record this. So drills and everything, all that fancy stuff will be out on Thursday, or start on Thursday, but we'll see. I mean, guys are opting out of stuff left and right, but we'll see who throws, we'll see who weighs in, we'll see who starts running around a little bit. And the combine's where a lot of people, shake hands and rub elbows. So in terms of Justin Fields traits and how everyone feels about Bo Nix and how much does JJ McCarthy weigh and what do Michael Penix's knees look like? We're going to learn a lot of information over the next week or so. So we'll bring that all back to you next week. But Ron and Ben, anything else for you guys before we get out of here tonight?
Be ready for the smoke screens. There's
Love
going to be a lot
a
of good
smoke screen.
information, but there's also going to be all of the smoke screens. There's going to be people just lying through their teeth to try and get their guy.
Yeah,
How about you,
thank you
Ben?
everybody for listening. Love the smoke screen season.
Love a smoke screen. It's the best thing. We might have to do that segment next week. Smoke screen or real. Anyways, all right. Well, let's not give away any ideas here at the 2 hour mark of the podcast. But thank you everybody for listening to Stat Sheet Podcast. We appreciate you. We will talk to you next week. We'll round out this series, previewing the off season. Maybe we'll see what kind of combine stuff is fun to talk about. But we appreciate you. So have a great week. Enjoy the combine, and we will talk to you soon.